We're looking for Genesis chapter 41. If you weren't here for chapter 40, what a great chapter. You just missed it, that's all. Go back and read it. What a thrill of a chapter to know that your plans don't mean a thing. What a great feeling to know I can't mess them up. I got all kinds of plans. Joseph says to the guys in prison, to the chief butler and to the chief baker, he says, remember, he said, well, to the chief butler, not to the baker, he died. But he says, remember me now when you get in front of Pharaoh. Remind me, remember me to Pharaoh. Tell him, get me out of here. I'm innocent. I don't belong. And Joseph had this plan. I'm going to be out of here this weekend. It's Pharaoh's birthday, you know. But at the end of chapter 40, he was still in everybody else. The butler was back before Pharaoh. The baker was dead. Joseph was still in jail. Now, verse 1 of chapter 41 says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now, I don't want to go too much further. 2 full years. It was 2 years ago when the butler and the baker were in jail. And Joseph had been in jail now for years, and he was taking care of them. And he thought, here's a way out, man. God gave him the interpretation of a dream. It came true. When the butler got out of prison, Joseph says, don't forget me down here. And the butler forgot. The Bible says the butler forgot all about Joseph. Forgot him. 2 full years later, I want you to know that I fully believe Joseph gave up a long time ago being remembered by the butler. Wouldn't you? It's been 2 years. He hasn't said anything so far. What makes you think he's going to bring it up today? He's not. The guy's a weasel. Get him, God. That's what you get for ministering to people. They spit right in your face. Joseph's given up. He's just serving in the dungeon. Joseph has given up ever thinking that the chief butler is ever going to mention his name to Pharaoh. That was 2 years ago, 2 full years. It's just not going to happen. Psalm 27. Verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't ever give up, even though it's been 2 full years. Don't ever give up, even though it's been 5 full years, 50 years. Don't ever give up. Wait on the Lord and be strong. Be brave. And he shall strengthen your heart. I remember the lady that I met in Colorado Springs. I had been in ministry not even a month. And I met a lady. And her husband came to church, and he was 6'9". So it was easy for me to remember him. He was an engineer. Not one that drew pictures. He drove a train. And I remember asking one time, do you drive it or just carry it where it needs to go? He is so big. And he wore a big Coors t-shirt. Said Coors, big can of Coors. And he was an usher. And when he passed that collection plate around, you put something in it. I don't care what it was. Your shoes. I mean, you just put some, here's my keys. I mean, you just didn't want that thing to go by without you. You know, he was big. And I said to his, I just asked her a question. How did you meet? You know how you ask dumb questions like that to people. And she said, well, we met in a bar. Oh, I don't think I want to hear the rest of this. She said, no, you don't. Because we got married and he would beat me. He's been an alcoholic. When I met him, and he would beat me severely. And she says, and I have been praying for him 15 years. And he got saved a few months ago. And he is so radically changed. She says, I don't even know the guy. and he's an usher in the church, and he loves God, and I wouldn't tell him any different. 15 years? I'd have been out of there in 15 minutes. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. What do I have to do? Wait on the Lord. How long? Yes. Absolutely. Every minute of it. Who's on first? That's right. Just wait on the Lord. How long? Don't you even worry about length. Just wait. Because he's going to do something, and when he does, there will be no question he did it. And everyone will see what God has done. Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I will recompense or repay evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. You catching a pattern here through Scripture? Wait on God. Isaiah 40, this one's pretty much memorized. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not quit or give up, or the King James says, faint. And how many, excuse me, do you know, maybe you, quit waiting, gave up? It's hard. I'm tired. I quit. This is hard for me. If you only had my life, if I had your life, I'd throw mine away. If you're only working 60 to 70 hours a week, you are working part-time, kid. Wait. Just wait on the Lord. He'll strengthen you. How long do you want me to wait down here in this stupid dungeon? Just wait. For what? And it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. Behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored cows, fat-fleshed. It means healthy, chubby cows. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, verse 3, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, gaunt, starving, skin and bones, and stood by the other cows upon the brink or at the edge of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed cows did eat up the 7 fat ones. I shortened it there. It says the 7 well-favored and fat cows. And then Pharaoh woke up. It's the middle of the night, and Pharaoh woke up. Thought, that's the weirdest dream I've ever had. Skinny, 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 dying cows ate the really healthy ones, and then I woke up. And you think, Pharaoh, you got to stop eating that ice cream right before bed. I told you, don't ever, ever mix your ice creams like that. You know, you put a little hot sauce on your ice cream, it messes you up. Well, he fell back asleep, verse 5 says, and he dreamed a second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn, grain, came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Rank, King James, fat. Really big stalks or grains of corn. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprang up after them. The east wind is the hot wind coming out of the desert, which does nothing but just burn up and destroy. And the 7 thin ears, verse 7, devoured the 7 fat and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, verse 8, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but they were none, or there was none, that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Wait on the Lord. How long? Until he's ready for you. When will he ever be ready for me? Today, Joseph. Because last night, Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Two of them. And they're confusing him. Why did you wait 2 full years? Don't you even concern yourself with that. That's my thing right there. I got this whole thing going. I'm going to save your dad, your brothers. I'm going to save everybody. Just relax. Trust me. And Joseph yelled back, I can't. No, he didn't, did he? Joseph was faithful. Listen closely, because you'll hear Jesus. Joseph was faithful in the little things. If he would not have been faithful in the little things, Joseph would not have been ready or faithful in the big things. Jesus tells us a few parables, but the idea is that he gave one person one talent, another person two, another person five. He left one person in charge of this little bit, one person in charge of this and one. Remember? And he says, the master went to a far land. When he came back, this person had been faithful. And he says to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little thing. I'll make you ruler over a vast bunch of stuff, big stuff. What do I have to do? I want to serve God in eternity. I really want to serve. I want to be used all through eternity. Well, then all you have to do here is just wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. You don't know how hard it is. Maybe I do. Maybe everybody you talk to really does. I don't know anyone who hasn't had trouble. Except Old Man River. And that's a whole different show. The dreams really disturbed him. Well, come on. You wake up in the middle of the night and you saw really healthy cows, 7 of them. That's a weird dream by itself. When was the last time you dreamed about fat cows? Except for you ranchers, put your hands back down. And then skinny cows, I mean, with just skin and bones on them, I'm almost like skeleton cows, came up and devoured the big cows. But remember, they stayed skinny skeletons. Now, that's a weird dream. And he woke up, and that was weird. But he was able to fall back to sleep, and then he did the stalks of corn, the grain. When he got up in the morning, the Bible says, he made a big mistake. He calls for the New Agers of his day. He calls for people who claim to know this kind of stuff. I see that there are people now you can call to come to your home, and they communicate, and they're psychics, and they communicate with your pet. And they communicate with your cat, and your cat somehow communicates what your problems really are and how you can better treat that cat. Like, I'm worried about how somebody treats their cat. Of course I am. Are you kidding? Cats. Communicate with your dog. You know, the inner puppy is struggling. And so people will come to your home. You don't have to take the dog, because the dog gets a little nervous being out in public. You know, I don't blame it. Especially in those little booties that you've made for it. The dog's getting nervous. So you call for the psychics and you say, 1-900, and you call and they say, okay, what's your name? And you think, look, you're a psychic. You tell me. Never works that way, does it? No, they always have to know information about you, or they can't tell you anything about you. I always thought that's weird. You're a psychic. You tell me about me. Anyway, all the magicians who studied the magical arts, you know, the little Harry Potters that everybody's so impressed with. But they couldn't interpret this dream. And he called all the wise men. Now, this is a big country. All the magicians, that would bring in a lot of people. And that would bring in a lot of men and women who were studying the magical arts and all this garbage. And they couldn't help him. None could help Pharaoh. And anytime you decide you're going to look to people to figure out what God is trying to tell you, you're going to be disappointed. You will be disappointed. Oh, I'm not saying there aren't people out there who will tell you. I mean, I've got the anointing. Oh, is that what you call it? It looks like one of the things they describe in the medical manuals. I think you can get medicine for what you got. No, it's the anointing. I feel it. And if you don't have the anointing, you can't get the job done. But I got the anointing. Somebody get it off him. He needs to sit down. I think they're making fun of it. It's absolutely embarrassing. But then they're going to tell you what God wants you to do. They couldn't do it. Anytime you look to people, you'll be disappointed. We need to call out to God. God says so. Read through the book of Isaiah. Read Isaiah chapter 8. Why do you seek the living? Or I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Why do you seek the dead on behalf of the living? God said, what are you doing going to these psychics and these witches trying to conjure up your great aunts and uncles and people that are going to, but why you seek the dead on behalf of the living? You want to know what's coming? Ask me. I'm the living God. Come to me, he says, and check with me. I'll tell you, God has told you already what the future holds. You already know that. He has given you so much information. Trouble is, you're going to have to study to show yourself approved. Make sure that you and I are rightly dividing it so we don't get off into some bizarre doctrines. But he's already shown us, well, if you look to people, you'll be disappointed. We need to be looking to God. In case you haven't already figured this out, you probably have, but in case you haven't figured this out, do you know it was God that gave Pharaoh these dreams? It was God that gave him those dreams. I am not convinced that every dream that happens comes from God. I've had some strange dreams in my life, and that was weird. That's not from anywhere, except from probably what I was watching on TV when I turned it off. Some lady calls and says, my son might be demon-possessed, because he's just got these strange things going on at night. Really, that just sounds odd to me. Well, can you come over and cast them out? Well, you know, the truth is, if it's demonic, you don't need me. You're a Christian. You do it. You pray. Well, he's having these bizarre dreams, okay? Listen, tell me what movies you watch. And then they go into Friday the 13th, you know, and Night of the Lawnmower or whatever, you know, and all these, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, now hold it. Hold it. We may have a clue here to what's going on inside this kid. You're scaring him to death. He's only 5. When it says parental guidance, what it means is parental guidance. Not, I'm with him, it's okay, he watches it. That's why people don't come to me for counseling. You ever wonder? I would have dreams if I saw lawnmowers chopping people into pieces. I don't know what those dreams would be like, but I'm sure it would be something. In case you didn't know, God gave Pharaoh these dreams. Hey, it was God who gave Joseph his dreams when he was just a boy. It was God who gave the baker and the butler those dreams to specifically use Joseph, to specifically, after when it was God's timing, to pull Joseph out of prison. This is all happening because of the Lord. Why now? Why not 2 years ago, God? And God would simply say, well, it wasn't time yet. It's time now, but it wasn't time 2 years ago. But I was ready 2 years ago. No, you weren't. But you're ready now. And you've been thinking, I don't know why God doesn't just use me. I mean, God, what are you doing? And God would be saying to you, trust me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. When are you going to use me? When you're ready and when I'm ready. We've got the schedule down. It's on the wall. Don't you? We won't miss this. You see, this all happens because of the Lord. It's in God's time that Joseph needs to come out of prison. It's not in Joseph's time. It's not in Jacob's time. It's not in everybody else's time. This is in God's time. Now, in God's time, he wants to do something in your life. And he is working in your life, but it's according to his timing and his schedule. And you're saying, I need you to speed it up. I'm getting old. And God just says, you're fine. Come on. Just be faithful. Trust me in the little thing. Just do what I got you doing. Lord, I'm doing something any idiot can do. Go for it. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Where we read, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. Everything happens in God's time, and we cannot comprehend his timing or how he does what he does. We see everything that's around us. We see there's a hurry. Lord, you know, I'm getting old now. My knees hurt sometimes. If you're going to use me, you better give me a shove quick. And God calmly says, you keep serving. You just keep on serving. Wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. Lord, you're missing a great opportunity here. No, Bob, I got this one. Joseph, you just keep serving. In the dungeon? Yeah. You keep serving. You know, there's no sunlight down here. You know, it's not that comfortable down here. You know, I don't belong. I'm innocent. And I've been mistreated. I'm a victim. I'll take care of it. You trust me. Look at verse 9. Then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh. It's about time. Been waiting 2 full years for this. Now, wait. I say that because I'm joking. But do you know, you put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Joseph doesn't know this is going on, does he? It's been 2 full years. Why would my name come up today? It's not. I mean, if someone said, well, I got this funny feeling, Joseph, you're going to be mentioned to Pharaoh today. Right? Yeah, that's funny. Tell me another one. Well, the chief butler spoke up to Pharaoh saying, I do remember my faults this day. I mean, you can see the guy going, oh, I can't believe I forgot this. Pharaoh, I remember something. Pharaoh was angry with his servants, verse 10. And put me in ward in the prison, in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, verse 11 says, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, a servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. I can't believe I forgot this kid. Pharaoh, I can't believe. Remember a few years ago when you threw us in prison? Well, while we were down there, the chief baker and I, we both had dreams. And there's a young Hebrew kid in there. We told him the dreams and he interpreted them correctly, and what he said actually came to pass. You took me back and brought me back to my position. And remember, the chief butler, you hung him. You killed him. Took his head off. Let the birds eat him. He says, I can't believe. He said, that kid interpreted the dreams, and he was right on the mark. Then Pharaoh sent, verse 14. And he called Joseph. And they brought him hastily, in a hurry, out of the dungeon, shaved himself, changed his clothing, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And verse 16 says, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Okay, Lessons, lessons, lessons. This is easy. Where you been the last 13 years, Joseph? In slavery. What have you been doing? Served at Potiphar's house until I got in trouble. Didn't do anything, but I got some trouble. I got accused of something I didn't do, and now I've been in prison years and years. Total of 13 years. I've been in Egypt, and I've been in slavery and in prison the whole time. You know something? Joseph is getting out of prison today. After 13 years of being a slave and in bondage, Joseph's going to get out of prison. But you know, he doesn't know it. He didn't know that today was going to be the day. He got up early, began his daily routine. That's how he did it. He was in charge. When you're in charge, you've got to get up early. You've got to make sure everything gets done. Got to make sure every prisoner gets fed. Got to check on that guy in cell number 19. He's had a pretty rough week. He's only been in here a little time. He's got a lousy attitude. Also, better remember to tell the warden we're running out of fresh water down here. You know, we have a real problem with fresh water. You'd think the warden would get it together, but no, I got to remind him. The water is contaminated. It's going to hurt these guys. You can imagine, he gets up, he's in the shower or whatever he's doing. He's getting ready to go to work. He has no idea today he's going to stand before Pharaoh. He never dreamed, pardon the expression, never dreamed that he was getting out of prison today. Just another day to him. Do you get the lesson? Do you see, hear what's going on? You do not know what this day will bring. Okay, this day for you may be over. But you don't know if you're given tomorrow. You don't know what is in that day, do you? You don't know if that's the day you will stand before the king. Do you? It could be the day that we stand before the king. He could come and get all of us, rapture a church, although everybody's starting to teach there is no such thing. But he could rapture his church. We'd be standing before Jesus Christ face to face in the air first, breathing fresh air on the way to the Father's house where there are many dwelling places. It could happen that fast. And all he would have wanted from us, simple faith. He wasn't asking us to be much. I just wanted you. I was in the dungeon, man. I was doing the lowest work. That's good. I was proud of you. Just be faithful. Wait on the Lord. Be of good. Just serve. Just serve. Well, how long am I going to be? I'll take care of that. I mean, you trust me. I'm going to bless you out of your socks. You just serve. He never dreamed it was going to be that day. I remember the day that the Lord made it clear to me that he wanted me to come to Idaho. I remember the day clearly. When I got up that morning, Idaho wasn't on my mind. Snow wasn't on my mind. It was a beautiful California day up at near Big Bear Lake up in the mountains. It was just perfect in every way. It was August. It was nice up there, out of the pollution. If you've ever been up to Twin Peaks in the old Conference Center, Calvary, you said, what a beautiful place, man. That I'm headed off there. That's a great place to be. You're going to go in. No classes because we were on summer break and classes were going to start up in September. Here we are, the beginning of August. And I got in there that day and Pastor Chuck came in and I thought, oh man, this is the Lord, because I've been wanting to talk to Pastor Chuck. And I went in and I said, Chuck, can I talk to you, please? And he said, sure. And I said, I really feel in my heart the Lord is leading me somewhere, but I don't know where. And he goes, what do you think? I said, I have no idea. I don't know. And he goes, well, you know, go ahead and go. I said, now? He said, yeah, Chuck is one of those guys. If you tell him you're feeling like leaving, he says, go. So I called Gene and I said, I think I just quit. I think I did. I'm not sure, but I think that's just what happened. Chuck, did I quit? Yeah, you did. Okay. He says, where are you going to go? I said, I don't know. You know, during that day, God set it up and we knew where we would be going. Never dreamed that morning where we'd be headed. And we've been here whining about the weather ever since. You get up tomorrow morning and you're thinking it's just going to be another day. Oh, I got the day off. Now I can cut the grass and rake the leaves and do all those things that God is going to really count big and important. You know, it's amazing. Joseph goes from being in the dungeon, which is the lowest part of the prison, to standing in front of the highest one. And remember, this is the Egyptian kingdom now. So Pharaoh's ruling over a lot of stuff, not just Egypt, but a lot of stuff. And Joseph says to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh says, I dreamed a dream, two of them, and I'm told that you can interpret. And Joseph says this very humbly, it's not in me. I can't tell you a thing. It has to be God. Did you hear that? It's not in me. The Lord will do it. You know, Joseph had a great opportunity here. Joseph, if you don't want to be tossed back into the hole, you know, make yourself look a little better, dude. Just a little bit. I mean, the thing you talked to the chief butler and that worked out. You know, come on, take a little credit for Pete's sake. Don't make yourself look dopey or he'll send you back. You don't have to lie. Just don't say everything you know, dude. So when he says, I hear you can do dreams. Yeah. Yeah. I have. You good at it? Not bad. Yeah, I'm good at it. I mean, you know, I'm not bragging. I mean, I'm good at it. You know, because I don't want to go back to prison. I'm real good at it, as a matter of fact. Been doing it for years now. Remember, that was 2 years ago. Been doing it years. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you do this one? Oh, sure. Yeah. Tell me what it is. Joseph could have pretended he was something that he wasn't. And instead, just came out of prison, standing before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I hear you can interpret dreams. And Joseph says, no, sir, I can't. God can. But I cannot. It's not in me. There is nothing in me that could do this. You got to love Joseph's heart here. I'll tell you the truth, Pharaoh. Even if it means you send me back to prison or you put me to death. I'll tell you the truth. It's not me. I'll make sure that Pharaoh knows I am nothing special. I am nothing special. God is special. God is the one. Some, I think, could have used this to their own advantage, to make a name for themselves, or to make themselves look like something that they really aren't. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira, that book of Acts chapter 5? How they made themselves look much more spiritual than they were. How they wanted people to really think they were giving. And they were giving. But they wanted people to think it was bigger than it was. Why? What kind of need, you know, you were giving from your heart. That blesses the Lord. The Lord's going to bless that and honor that. Why did you have to make everybody think it was bigger than it was and you were a little bit more spiritual and holy than you were? Why did you have to do that? Peter says you lied to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And then they fell over dead. Matthew 18:4 says, Jesus is speaking, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Did you hear that? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, get down. Humble yourself. And the disciples continued to fight over who is the greatest. Is it Peter? Is it James? Is it John? Is it Matthew? Who is the greatest? And they fought over it among themselves all throughout the three and a half year ministry of Jesus Christ. They didn't quit fighting about it. Even near the end, before Jesus went to the cross, they still were in a debate right before that of who is really the greatest. And Jesus says, humble yourself just like a little child. If you do that, you're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we've learned it. We're living in an upside down kingdom. You fight your way to the top here, you're really fighting your way to the bottom in heaven. Fight your way to the bottom here, you're fighting your way to the top up there. You take the last seat, you're brought up to the first. You take the first seat, you're sent back to the back. The first shall be last, and the last first. And it's just different than we're used to. See, the way it should work, I'm told, is this. You should start at 100 grand a year, and as you work hard and make yourself up the way to CEO, you should work your way all the way up to minimum wage. Isn't that true? I mean, isn't that what we're talking about? You're fighting your way to the bottom to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Our problem is we want to lift ourselves up. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. Likewise, or in like manner, you younger, submit yourselves to the older. Oh man, you had to say that. Submit yourselves to the older. Yea, all of you be subject to each other. Now, he didn't leave any of us out just then, did he? Submit yourselves to you young people, submit yourself to us old dudes and dudettes. And at the same time, every one of us should submit to each other and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Grace, undeserved kindness, undeserved favor, unearned niceness. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, when it's time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let God know where your heart is. Call out to God. Roll all your cares onto him. And I see Joseph here, humbly saying, I can't interpret dreams. God can. Tell me what your dream is, and I believe the Lord will show you what it means. He could have taken all kinds of other approaches to that, but he humbly says, it's not me. Well, in verse 17, Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. Behold, there came up out of the river seven cows, fat-fleshed, well-favored, and they fed, or they were eating or grazing in the meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. In other words, I've never seen any this gaunt, this thin, this wasted. And the lean and the ill-favored cows did eat up the first seven fat ones. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. They were still skinny, still skin and bones. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. And I woke up. And I saw in my dream, fell asleep again, behold, seven ears came up and one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, now listen closely. Here he gives God all the credit. The dream of Pharaoh is one. In other words, you've had two dreams, but it's one message. God has shown you what he is about to do. This is God. God is showing you. He's giving you a warning, Pharaoh, of what's coming before it happens. That's pretty nice of God, I'd say. The seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is the same, or one. The seven thin and ill-favored cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. He says it's very simple, and this is what God is showing you. This is not me. This has nothing to do with me. The Lord has given you the dreams. The Lord is showing you what's coming. 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of the worst famine you've ever seen. That's what's coming. Verse 28 says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he is showing unto Pharaoh. In other words, this will happen, Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. In verse 30 says, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, the entire land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. He says, God is showing you, Pharaoh, what will be. The Lord is being merciful and showing you kindness. Although you don't worship him, you worship millions of other gods in this land. The Lord is showing kindness to you, and he's showing you what will surely happen. 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of the worst famine ever. So look at verse 28. I'm sorry. That was 28 through 32. Well, he says it's God for sure. So verse 33 says, now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man. In other words, you need to choose out a man here in Egypt, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, he says. And then that the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Okay, that's pretty easy to understand. Joseph gave Pharaoh the interpretation. He said, this is what God is saying. Now notice, before Pharaoh really has a chance to respond, notice Joseph, just like he was as a kid. Remember, with his dad, he was really good with his dad's stuff. He really took care of it. He really kept an eye on it. And so he was good. And when he got into Pharaoh's, you know, he took care of, Potiphar's. He took care of Potiphar's stuff. And it was blessed and it was growing. He was really good. And when he got thrown into prison, he started taking care of things there. And it was blessed and really good. And so naturally, over the years, as God has grown up this young man, as he served the Lord and continued to trust, God has just gifted him with an ability to see. Well, here's, you know, so Pharaoh doesn't ask for advice, but it's so logical to Joseph, he just blurts it out. Pharaoh, here's what you need to do. Because I'm telling you, this is from God. 7 years are going to be great. 7 years are going to be the worst you've ever seen. You got to prepare for this. It makes logical sense to me, and here's how to do that. You need to choose a wise man. Choose a wise man. You know, Pharaoh, this is you. You could do with what you want. And without asking for advice, he said, you need to choose a wise man. You need to choose a really wise man. Set him over the land of Egypt, over this coming situation. You need to do it now. Let this man appoint officers under him over the entire land, so that during the years of plenty, they'll collect 1/5, or you and I could say 20%. Of the grain each year for the 7 years. This will save the land of Egypt through the coming years of famine. See, to Joseph, it makes perfect sense. He knows how to deal with it. He's been overseeing stuff for years. The last 13 years, he's been overseeing stuff in Egypt. It made perfect sense to him. Verse 37 says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. In other words, in the court, when Joseph spoke out, Pharaoh looked and thought, you know, that's wise. That makes sense. If we've got 7 good years coming, it makes sense that we know 7 bad years after it, we could prepare for it. At least we won't be hit so hard. God has been kind and warned us. If it does come to pass, we'll be ready. Makes good sense. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "For as much as God hath shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." Now Joseph, this morning, was in the prison, getting ready to do his daily routine, and he's been a slave and a prisoner for 13 years. Just planning to get up today and serve God in the prison. No whining, no complaining. I'm just going to serve God. I mean, you know, here, another day in prison. Marks I'm on the wall. We'll get with it. And he comes out of prison. Now, Joseph, again, and I hate to use these words, but he never dreamed that he knew of. I mean, he wasn't telling Pharaoh what to do, so Pharaoh would look at him and say, "Okay, you do it." That wasn't his intention. What it was it made so much sense to Joseph because how God had built him, how he'd been serving over the years, it just came out. You know, Pharaoh, I know how to handle this one. Here's the way you do it. You got 7 good years coming. Take those and get ready for the bad. If God's warned us it's coming, trust me, it's coming. Let's deal with it. You need to deal with it, Pharaoh. He wasn't saying it so, pick me. I know. This will get me out of jail. And that's not what he was saying, and that's not what was going on. He's got a heart here that's innocent. And Pharaoh says it makes sense. Prepare for troubles that you know are on the way. Look ahead and prepare. Proverbs 27:12. Often quoted, but it's sure a solid verse if you know trouble is coming. Proverbs 27:12 says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple or the fool passes on and is punished." When you see what's coming and you don't do anything about it, God says, that's a fool. That's what Joseph's saying to Pharaoh. Listen, Pharaoh, God has shown you what's coming. Here's what makes sense. Do something about it now. Get ready now. And Pharaoh answers, here's his response. You know, that is wise counsel. That's a good idea. And what better person than you, Joseph, to do the job? Why Joseph? Because you are a man whom the Spirit of God is in. Notice Joseph said, "It's not me. This is the Lord." And Pharaoh says, "I don't know this Lord, but it sounds like you were right here. And if you're right here, then the Spirit of God, where could we find a wiser one than you? The Spirit of God, the one that gave the interpretation, the one that has warned us what's coming. Well, you're the one. You're the one that has the wisdom. There is none wiser because you have the Spirit of God." Did you hear that, Christian? Now think about it a second. I know you don't see yourself that way. Christian, you truly born again? Have you committed your life to God? Are you really submitted to His will? Are you really serving, not holding anything back, just saying, "Here I am, Lord, let's just do this. Let's go ahead and we'll keep working until you come and get us. Let's just do this, Lord." You know what? Did you hear, Christian? Are you listening? You have the Spirit of God. There is none wiser. Who better to do this job than you, Christian? Who better to preach the gospel than you? You got the Spirit of the Lord upon you. You've got the power and the authority and the calling and the strength. Joseph, you've got the Spirit of God. No one is better equipped to do this job than you. I'll give the job to you. Joseph had been faithful in the little things. Whereas you and I look at 13 years of suffering and say, I don't want any part of it. Just get me out. Well, I'm doing something. I don't know. Just get me out. I quit. We bail. We stop. I'm sure all of us at one time or another are guilty of just bailing out on something. Instead of saying, "Man, this is God. God's in control. We're going to give me the strength, Lord. Hang on." Joseph did just that. He was faithful in the little things. Now, in one day, he is made the ruler over the entire Egyptian empire. Pharaoh says, "The only time I'll have more authority than you is when I'm sitting on the throne." Woo. Joseph goes from 13 years of servitude, being the lowest slave, to being in charge of everything over the entire land of Egypt in one afternoon. And he wasn't planning on it that morning. What made him ready for it? Every day. Every single day. Serving God. In whatever circumstance God had him in. Not necessarily saying, I love this prison. Oh, I love it. But just saying, Lord, I love you. I trust you. Probably praying, Lord, help me out. I want to see my family again. Lord, help me. Help me to have an attitude today in this dungeon that is an attitude that brings you glory. Lord, work in my heart because I'm kind of feeling a little slow. Change my attitude, Lord. And he was faithful in those little things. So God moved him up to be in charge. To be in charge all over Egypt. Look at verse 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his own hand, from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures, clothing of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. Without Joseph's permission, without Joseph's orders, nothing will happen. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Panaah. He called him right there that. Zaphnath-Panaah. You say it. And he gave him a wife with an easier name, Ashenath, the daughter of her dad, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. He gave him a ring. He took the ring off his own hand. That was Pharaoh's signet ring. It was used to sign official documents. In other words, he had the complete authority of Pharaoh himself. He would take that thing and they would usually put wax on it and just mark the mark of Pharaoh, that signet ring, into that, and it was a done deal. If you wanted to make a law, sign it, it's law. No one will lift a foot without your permission, Joseph. You're in complete charge of the land of Egypt. Oh my goodness. He carried the authority of Pharaoh himself. He gave Joseph lots of nice clothes, gave him a wife. Amazing. And Joseph, verse 46, was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. He was 30 years old when he was made completely in charge of it all. And he went out all over the land of Egypt. Jesus was 30 years old when he entered into his public ministry. Jesus, the Son of the living God. And at 30 years old, entered into public ministry and went all over the land of Israel. That people could accept him or reject him. Verse 47 says, and in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth handfuls, bunches, lots. And he gathered up all, Joseph did, all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sands of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. They just continued to collect. It was such a bumper crop for 7 years. And unto Joseph were born two sons, before the years of famine came. In other words, in the good years, before the famine struck, Ashenath, the daughter of that guy, priest of On, bear to Joseph. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, he said, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. It happened just like God said it would happen. 7 years of bumper crops, bountiful years. Joseph and his wife during those 7 years had two children, two boys. Manasseh, which means literally to forget. Because he said, God has made me to forget my misery. In other words, you know, the first 13 years here in Egypt were not a cakewalk. It was a hard life that Joseph lived. But God's made me to forget that toil and that pain. Also, he's forgotten his earlier life. And he says, it helps now to have a son. It helps me to forget the pain of not having my family. You know, being sold and being away from my family. It helps to forget. So he names him Manasseh, which means to forget. Then the next little boy is called Ephraim, meaning fruitful. God has made me fruitful, he says, here in this strange land. God blessed me even here. Verse 53, almost done here. 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. The 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was food, bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. And what he says to you, do. Pharaoh goes, check with Joseph. He's the man. He's in charge. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. Underline all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore or grew worse in the land of Egypt. And here's another thing to notice. All countries came to Egypt to Joseph to buy food, to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. 7 years of plenty. And just like God promised, 7 years of famine came upon Egypt and they were hurting. People came, they said, we have no more food, we want to buy it. Pharaoh says, go to Joseph, check it out. Joseph's in charge. Joseph began to sell people food so they wouldn't starve. But not just people in Egypt, people from nations surrounding. And even from far away, the famine was so bad that people were coming way down to buy food from who? Joseph. Joseph is complete charge of everything that's going on. How did he get there? He worked hard. He got a great education. He made something of himself. No. He served the Lord and loved the Lord with his whole heart, his whole mind, his whole strength. And he humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. And in due time, when it was time, God lifted him up to the place where he could minister. And he will minister to his own people. He doesn't know that yet. What about you? Lessons are clear. Don't give up. By the power of the Holy Spirit, be faithful in what you think are little things. Humble yourself and wait on the Lord and let him strengthen your heart. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait. And he will work in his time for your good and his glory. That's exactly what you're learning here and what the Bible teaches. Let's bow our heads together.